tactical pause in military operations and a promise to allow aid in. It's the start of a new week in Gaza, but is it the start of real change for the people there after nearly 2 years of war and months of severe food shortages? The World Health Organization said malnutrition rates had reached alarming levels and said the deliberate blocking of aid was entirely preventable and had cost many lives. Will Christou, freelance journalist in Jerusalem, joins us now. Will, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can I begin by asking, what's the reaction been in Israel to this announcement of a tactical pause in military operations in Gaza?
I think there had been growing pressure in Israel to alleviate the starvation crisis that had been happening in Gaza. In Israel, Gaza is not often on the news, and when it is, it's related to hostages. People don't typically see pictures of civilians killed in bombings. But the horrific pictures of babies who were starving and gaunt corpses made their way even to Israel, prompting protests. So among a lot of the segments of Israeli population, it came as good news. To others, more far-right wing, more members of the more far-right wing coalition that governs Israel, they were quite unhappy about the announcement. They saw it as a sort of surrender to Hamas without getting anything in return.
Do we have any idea at this point, is there clarity about what level of aid has or will be allowed into Gaza since this pause has been announced?
So it's still early days. UNRWA said that yesterday about 150 aid trucks entered Gaza. To put that in context, since May, about 70 trucks came in per day. And the UN says that the level of aid that's needed is about 500 to 600 at least into Gaza. So we're still far below what's needed. There's been a slight improvement, but anything is an improvement from a baseline of mass starvation. We don't know exactly how much aid will be ramped up. I mean, airdropped aid is happening. That looks great in pictures. In reality, it's not much of a solution. It doesn't provide that much. Israel said humanitarian pauses would continue until further notice. We don't know how long they'll continue. And they said they'll open humanitarian corridors for UN to distribute aid on UN trucks into Gaza. Again, we don't know how many trucks will be allowed to go in per day. So there's still a lot of unknowns, though it's an improvement.
There was an interesting report the weekend by the New York Times, who reported that Israeli military officials said there was no proof that Hamas routinely stole UN aid. And that had been one of the main reasons given by Israel for taking charge of aid distribution.
Yeah, and that had echoed, that report echoed earlier reports by Reuters, which relied on a leaked document by USAID that said that there also was no evidence that Hamas was systematically stealing aid. And the UN has been saying that for months. Israel has been asserting for a while that Hamas is systematically stealing UN aid, and that's why you have to get in this private Gaza Humanitarian Foundation to distribute aid there, which has led to the deaths of near 1,000 people seeking aid. But it seems like there was never any proof that was presented from that. It's not been released publicly. And now reporting, quoting Israeli military officials, indicate that theft that happened was not done systematically from the UN.
Is it then a combination of international pressure, domestic pressure, and, you know, these sort of reports coming out that has led to Israel finally making some concessions and having this pause in place and allowing some aid in?
I would say it's mainly international pressure. It is rare for there to be more than a dozen countries issuing a rebuke of Israel. And some of those countries that issued a rebuke this week included close allies such as the UK, Germany, and Australia. Just the images of starving babies with distended stomachs and people on video dropping out of exhaustion from aid, from starvation, sorry. They were shocking, and they shocked everyone. It led to a wave of international pressure on Israel. And eventually they had to at least make a move to improve aid access there.
I know you speak regularly with journalists on the ground in Gaza. What are they telling you?
I mean, they're saying that everything, that things are quite bad. What's unique about the starvation crisis is I think we have this picture in our mind that, okay, there, some people are starving, but if you have money, it would be okay. Or there's some portion of the population that's doing fine, but that's just not the case. Everyone is feeling it. And if you're not in the hospital from malnutrition, you're losing weight. That includes reporters we work with. And that includes reporters of big organizations like Reuters, BBC, and even staff of the UN who should be taken care of, who you'd think occupy a privileged position. And it just goes to underscore the scale of this crisis, that food is just simply not there.
Okay. Will Christou, freelance journalist in Jerusalem, thank you very much for joining us.